Olin and I got into discussion this morning. He said, you know, it's going to be like socialism in heaven. Everybody's going to be the same. I said, no, they're not. How many knows that what we do down here, you're going to receive reward or loss of reward? I was in construction years ago, and there was a guy on the job. He'd say, work hard, work hard, work. And those that little cadence just kind of rings in my ear sometimes. You know, how many knows if you work hard down here, you get more. Usually, if you work smart and hard, you get more. You're rewarded for your service. A servant is worthy of his reward. And so you pray for us, because I believe I'm working hard and doing what God has called me to do, and I'm expecting big things. How many's expecting big things in heaven? Now see, that's a part of it. And then if you don't expect much, you may get it. Ben Franklin said, if you think you can or you think you can, you're right. And so I thought that was an interesting thought you brought to me this morning about everybody being the same. Now here's what'll be the same. He'll love us all the same. You might not have been the favorite child here. How many was, now don't raise your hand, bless your heart, but how many was not the favorite child at home, you know? You were the oldest, or you thought you were the baby, and then they had one more, and you just blew you out of baby status. You know, all that kind of stuff. Well, you know, but he will love us all the same. You can take that to the bank. He'll love us. He won't make a, you know, we're his sheep, we're his children, and he'll love us all the same. In prayer this morning, Miss Ray Noah said, I just want to kiss you on the cheek this morning, Lord. Now, that's the first time I ever heard anybody pray that. Yeah. So he'll love us all, and he'll be with us, you know, and treat us all the same. But I think we'll be rewarded according to what we've done. Hammy heard the story, said that Mac Brown, you know, the coach of Texas Longhorns, went to heaven, but he just had a little shack in heaven. And he looks up on the hill, and there's a big mansion that had OU written on it. Max said, well, that's no fair. How come Stoops gets a big house and I get a little shack? He said, that's not Bob Stoops. That's my house. Okay, I'll quit with the jokes and go ahead and preach a little while. Amen. Got your Bible ready to learn a little bit today? We're going to talk about walking with God. Isn't it good walking with God? I love walking with God. This is my Bible. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be what it says I can be. I can have what it says I can have. I can give what it says I can give. I can go where it says I can go. And I can learn what it says I can learn. In Jesus' name, amen. Walking with God. Turn with me to Acts the 9th chapter today. Acts the 9th chapter. And I want to use Paul as an example because Paul was a student, wasn't he? I mean, you talk about somebody that was working hard and wherever he was, when he was a Pharisee and he was getting his Roman citizenship and he was growing up, he was a go-getter. We'd call him here in Oklahoma, we'd call him a go-getter. You know, he put everything on the line and he worked hard and I think that's what I believe when I see people that aren't Christians, but they're great men or women. You know, they put their heart into what they do. I get excited because I think, man, when they come on Team for Jesus, you know, what a worker they're going to be. And I can just envision them, what they're doing for secular or worldly or just their own pleasure, turning that into, something created for Christ. We just got back a couple weeks ago from a 3,000-mile bike tour on our Gullwing, and that's a long stretch for 54-year-old. I turned 54 this month, but it was an awesome trip. And one of the places where we went, you wouldn't think a preacher would stop there, but we did. We stopped in Vegas. And I'm telling you, how many's been to Vegas? And don't, you know, let me see. Okay. Did you win any money? One, two, won some money, three, won some money. Did you tithe off that money? Just asking. Yeah. If you've ever been to Vegas, this is what intrigued me was the architecture. I love restoration or building things. I flip homes on the side, and I love taking an old dilapidated house. And just Mark and I did one this year that was just, I mean, it's just a shell, really. One person came up and said, this house needs to be condemned. That's what this house needs to be. And we turned it into about a $75,000 house, which is a little work. And I love that kind of stuff. You walk off from something that's, you know, it's dilapidated, it looks terrible, and you walk off and you look at it and you think, man, that's, and I love to do the same with people. When you find somebody that's just, you know, they're down and out and they're out of the fold, and just to bring them in and shepherd them and love on them and watch them grow and be restored. I love that kind of stuff. That's what turns my crank. Everybody in here, something turns your crank, you know, but that's what turns my crank. That's what gets me excited is restoration. When I see something working properly, that was, dilapidated or out of sync or out of its zone or out of its niche, and all of a sudden it's restored again. That's what I live for. That's part of my calling, a large part of my calling. But what fascinated me was all of the creative architecture and all the just the creative mind to build what they built. And I thought, man, what if we had all these resources and all these creative minds? And maybe they do. Maybe they some of the same architects build big churches that just look awesome. I don't know. But what if all of that talent was turned for the kingdom? What would that produce? That's what I thought. They had, like, you'd walk into a, and most of the malls and the casinos are they're very tall ceilings, and they're painted with clouds, like white puffy clouds, and then blue, a blue sky. And so when you're walking in there, you don't know if it's daylight or you feel like you're walking down a street, a little cobblestone street, and it's a day in there because of the clouds. You see the clouds in the sky, and I thought, what creativity. And you say, well, that's not very spiritual. I think it's spiritual in the fact that they're walking in their calling, whether using it for Vegas or money. But God puts stuff in people. He puts something in the musicians and the singers and things. He puts something in them. And then this morning he put a pause in Kish's brain, didn't he? Wasn't that funny? I thought that was so funny. Because, you know, I've been to a lot of singings over the years. We have a little country group. We used to sing all over everywhere and be right in the middle of a song and just lose it. I mean, usually I look at Jan and my wife and say, what's the next word? You know, and she would usually know, but I get tickled. And some of you that think, oh, well, that's terrible. Well, it's not. It's just loosen up. It's funny. It's a mistake. We're all human. But to walk in your calling, walk in to building praise. Today, you didn't just sing, you built praise. Today, you didn't just strum on the guitar, you were playing for the glory of God. And I told Jan, I said, did you notice, Spencer, he gave a good mix. He's our main sound man now. And he, attaboy to the sound mix. Brad sounding good on that guitar, and you could hear every instrument. So, attaboy, he's walking with God in his niche, in his calling. And I'm telling you, that is fulfilling. Some of you may not notice it on the sound and all, but I love listening to sound and mixing music and stuff. And that sounded good this morning. It's a good level mix, and so he's walking with God on the soundboard. Walking with God on sound. Walking with God in architecture. Walking with God in whatever He put in you that you can do that other people can't do. One of the guys that used to play in our little group for a while, he was came right out of the bars, and we said, well, what do you, and he said, I play the electric guitar. And so we put him up on stage at church. He'd play on the bars on Saturday, Friday, and Saturday night, play in our church sanctuary on Sunday. And he sat there and people said, Do you know where he was last week? And I said, yeah, I know where he was. You know where he's at today? He's in the house of God playing for Jesus. And he sat there in our church for a little while and he got saved. And he quit going out there and playing there and started playing in our church. He's using his gift for God and he was willing to come in. And so we just said, come in and play. How many knows there's no such thing as a sinful note on the guitar? Some of them sound pretty sinful, don't they? You know, but they're not. And he was walking with God, doing what he could do. In fact, here's what, his name was John, and John said this. He said, anybody can do this, and he would just eat the guitar. I said, no, John, not anybody can do that. He said, oh, it's easy. And I said, it's not easy. I said, I tell you what, John, you get up from there and go over to the piano and do that same thing. He said, well, I can't do that. I said, well, you can. It's easy. Ask the piano player. Because they're playing on what God gave them. I'm going to tell you something. If you want to be a happy camper in this life, play on the chord that God gave you. Find your strength and do that. Whether it's management, it's leadership, it's people skills, you know, whatever it may be, whatever it is, find that and play on that and you'll be a happy camper. You'll enjoy getting up every day. So we're talking about walking with God. Now, here's what happens. Sometimes we get off the path. That's why when we have communion, I like to pray, Lord, you know, forgive us if we've done something or said something or thought something that doesn't look like you. Because how many knows, the most holy people do think things, say things, do things that's not very holy. Huh? And so we all need the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, let's look at Paul in Acts chapter 9. And this is his intro to Christianity. And I've often thought, I've had friends, I think, you know, it's just really hard-headed. And I think, Lord, why don't you just do them like you did Paul? Give them a Paul conversion. You had any friends like that? You say, why don't you just knock them down, blind them a little while, and then I'll go talk to them. Maybe that's what some people said about you before you came to Christ. one of my good friends, he's a horse rancher and just got a beautiful Palomino. It's like $1,200 stud fee for this horse. Beautiful, most beautiful animal I've ever seen in my life. And I worked on him for years and to get him to Christ. And we'd be out rounding up cattle or doing something, you know, and working together just out. I had a little cattle herd at the time. And I said, are you ready to receive Jesus Christ today? And I'd look over at him, you know, right out there doing. He'd say, not today. I don't want to today. Yeah. And he was so hard-headed. I prayed for him like 2 or 3 years before he finally came to Christ. And he thought he was going to die. That's the only reason he came to Christ then. But at least I had planted enough seeds, he knew where to run. So people like that, you think, man, why don't you just, you know. We talked about evangelism, not stereotyping evangelism. And I told our Bible students the other night, I said, you know, I've finally got this guy to Jesus Christ through prayers and the prayers of Miss Vivian. She had prayed many prayers for Roy. And so, in fact, when he came to Miss Vivian's funeral, Roy told me, he said, she done something you never could do, Pastor. And I said, what's that? He said, got me to church. So, you know, that's the kind of guy I was dealing with. And then the next kid I started praying for, the day I talked to him, I said, I'm going to start praying for you. You know, I'm a Christian and he said, no. And I said, I'm going to start praying for you. Would that be okay? I always like to pray for somebody. And he said, that'd be great. And I said, well, that was easy. And I said, would you like to come to Jesus today and invite him into your heart today? He said, yep. And I thought, wow. So in your walk, you never know what God's going to bring before you, but just know this, that whatever he brings before you, it's good because he's chosen you for the task, and isn't that an honor to think I've been chosen by God to pray for this one, to intercede for this one, or to do this task, or to lead this, or to lead praise, even when you forget words? You wasn't in a building a while ago when I made fun, so I had to get you while you were here, okay. Because I've done that numerous times, and I thought it's just, I didn't know if he was crying or just forgot, you know. In fact, that's what some of us used to do is when we'd forget the word, just. Yeah, that's, you can use that if you want to. Of course, you can't use it here, they'll know, you know. They'll know. You could say this, no, really. Yeah. Oh, Lord. Yeah. He said we could have life and have it more abundantly, right? We're just having a little abundant life. Forgive us here. Acts chapter 9, and this is Saul's introduction to Christianity. Saul still breathing threats. And you remember back in Acts chapter 7, whenever Stephen was witnessing and he was walking, he was a deacon in the church. And remember, he was elected to serve, Stephen was. And he was walking in such anointing. And so what I want you to get from that is it doesn't really matter what your part is. Some of you that say, well, I just serve, or like Miss Judy, I just cook on Wednesday nights. No, you don't just do stuff in the kingdom. When you're doing what you do for the glory of God, you are serving, and your reward will be just as great as Billy Graham or whomever your spiritual hero is. When you're doing your part and you're faithful to do your part and you're compassionate about your part. Do you see that menu? I heard Miss Thelma say, amen, for Wednesday night. In fact, I tell our cooks, don't burn your sermon. Nobody wants to eat a burnt sermon, right? That's their part. That's what they're doing. And so whatever your part is, do it as unto the Lord, and receive a great reward for what you are doing. That's your walk with God. So you don't ever because the devil's part is always minimize what we do for Jesus. I love people that will, you know, if you're going to tend the garden, tend the garden. How many of those are gardeners out here? They're tending that garden, aren't they? I love that. Looks like somebody cares about Jesus. You know, if you're going to sing, get up and sing. If you miss a beat, just get right back in there like you do. You know what? I mean, because we're all going to stumble in what we do. But never minimize what you do for Jesus Christ. That's what your reward's going to be built on. You're walking with God in that. So if you're an intercessor, you know, like Miss Ray, she's an intercessor. Jan is an intercessor. And so whatever your part is, walk in that and do that. And don't let the devil minimize. So Stephen is a deacon in the church, but he is so full of the Holy Spirit, and so God is so pleased with him that when he begins to minister to these unbelievers, his face is transformed like an angel, and they cannot stand to hear his words, and they put their hands over their ears and ran and gnashed on him with their teeth. That's how convicted they were through a deacon in the church. And they stoned him to death. While Stephen was being stoned, he looked up and said, I see Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And I thought, man, when one of his children's in trouble, Jesus is seated on the throne, but he stood up the day his child was in trouble. And he said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. This is a deacon. He's just going out and he's witnessing. He's walking with God. But guess who was there? The Bible says there's a young man, a young zealous man named Saul that was there watching as this young Christian named Stephen was being stoned for being a witness for Jesus Christ. Hey, wow, that's not very abundant life, is it? Well, you know what? The pain lasted for a little while, but his reward in heaven will last forever. And then not only that, but before the pain got too severe that he couldn't take it, Jesus opens up heaven and reveals himself. I've heard people that were leaving this life and headed over to the next talking about what they see. I see the light. We had one of our elderly people that used to attend here before he passed away. His name was Bert. And he said, you know, because he almost died two or three times. He said, and every time I see this tunnel and there's a light, but there's no one there. And every time they'd revive him, he'd say the same thing. I see this tunnel, and it's like a lighted room, but there's no one there. And the day that he finally left this earth and went across them over to heaven, Jana said, I guess someone was there. Someone was there. I think it was just like it was with Stephen. Someone was there. Because we're serving the same God. Walking with God. So Saul was there. He was there when he was, and he's breathing out threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord. Went to the high priest. He goes to the high priest. I'm going to go get permission. I'm going to go get permission. I'm going to go get confirmation from the higher up so I can do this legally. And so he says, and he asked letters from him from the synagogue of Damascus so that if he found any who were in the way, and my Bible has way in a capital W. That means in the way. the gospel way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the light. It's kind of like we was having a Bible study years ago, and we was talking about Jesus, how he had given his life, and then all of a sudden the disciples are in the room, and Jesus just appears. Somebody said, well, how'd he get in there? And somebody else said, well, he said, I'm the door. He is the door. And so He just appeared all of a sudden. And now He's the way. Whether men or women, He might bring them bound to Jerusalem. So what He's asking for is permission. You know, He's saying, I got to have permission, written permission. Where's the tither? This would be His card. He says, you know, I've got written permission from the higher up, the highest hierarchy of the church. I've got permission to do what I, so He's got His little card, you know, and He's just carrying His little card in His pocket, His little letter that I'm sanctioned by the church. Paul teaches us a good lesson right here. Sometimes you cannot go by what the church sanctions for you. Now, I have to be careful when I say that because, you know, there's a lot of rebellious people that don't want to submit to authority. And I just remember Jesus doing our own thing. You know, those are vulnerable sheep out. That's got a little pride and stuff going on that they need to work on. So I have to be careful when I say that. But you know what? What I'm trying to get to is say this. Only you and Jesus know what you and Jesus know about what you're supposed to do. And you are required, and I'm required, to see what that is. You know, you can't depend on your mom and dad forever. That's the Haley's got to make a decision somewhere. In fact, you may bring a hairy-legged boy home and dad says, what'd you do with him? Now, here's what you need to do, though. You need to listen to what dad says and what mom says. See, you need to take counsel, but sometimes you have to know what only you and Jesus know what you and, because sometimes it doesn't make sense, does it? For instance, whenever King David committed adultery with Bathsheba, and then he elected Solomon's son to be the next king. How many, if you'd been on that voting board about who's going to be the next king, you would have voted for that kid? Probably not. Because you said, you know, really with all the adultery and how this relationship started, and then he had his dad, you know, killed and her husband killed and all that. Let's go over here. Because this one here now, David's wife, number 14 or whatever, you know, she was raised in the church. She was, you know, and that's the way most of us would think, but God didn't, did he? So I'm just saying you can't always go by what is norm. And that's the blessing about walking with God. You just know. Now, here's a great thing that we need to keep in mind. When you're walking with God and you're like Saul and you're off the beaten path and you're looking for direction, just make sure, first of all, it lines up with this. That's your first security, level of security. Make sure it lines up with this thing. If it contradicts this, it probably is not God. It probably is not God. How many members Rahab the harlot? she hid the two spies and she was rewarded with her life. And then some say, and I believe it's her, it's when the lineage, you're looking down through David, that there's Rahab mentioned. See, there's another one of those people I'm not sure we would have put in the lineup. But that's why we need to be careful about when we're doing something and we're walking with God and walking in our assignment. Is this God? Is this? And then we seek counsel. Now, turn over to Proverbs 11:14. Proverbs 11:14. I'm not saying, you know, not to receive counsel. I'm just saying there comes a point whenever you have to say, this is what God, I've sought God's face, I've sought Him, and this is what God wants me to do. It lines up with His Word, I've gotten counsel, but we have to be careful because Paul, remember what Paul has? Paul has his letter. The church has sanctioned this, and I'm going to go get me some Christians. Some of those people is teaching, and so you have to be careful that everybody, just because everybody has agreed with you, and here's something I found when I'm wanting to push something forward, I have to be careful because I'm pretty persuasive about the counsel that, you know, I'll give them my verdict before I just lay out the facts. You know what I'm saying? So I can persuade people to go down that path that I'm wanting to go down. And then you'll get a lot of people who say, well, I know he really wants to do it, so yeah, that's a good deal. You know. So we have to be careful when we're walking with God and we're seeking counsel, because I think deep in our knower, I call it knowing in your knower. That's what my kids grew up with. I said, I don't know, you just know in your knower when they're looking for something and they're trying to find the answer for something. How many knows what I'm talking about when you say you just know in your knower? It's like a prompting or something God gives you. You've been studying, you've been praying, you've been meditating on this. God, do you want me to do this? You want me to go in this direction? He will speak to His children. And so He says, where there is no counsel, Proverbs 11:14, there the people fall. So I'm not saying not to get counsel. Counsel is good. But in the multitude of counsel, there is safety. See, so counsel is a good thing, but I'm just saying don't make that the only thing. Are you with me? Don't make that your, you know, maybe grandma says yes, grandpa said yes, but whomever you go to for wise counsel. But what is God saying to you? What's God saying to you? I've seen children go to their parents and want to go on a mission trip. And the parents are like, oh, no, you're not doing that. Well, why are they not doing that? Because I'm afraid for them. They've never been that far from home. And I've seen some that said, but I'm going. You know, because they've heard. They know and they're not, they've got the word. And so they go and they're fulfilled and all. It's a good thing. I was telling our Bible students the other night, whenever I joined up with a denomination. Our church is an interdenominational church, independent interdenominational church. We just try to welcome everyone here and say that there's different theories taught from the Scripture, different doctrines. But if you can, what we would ask you to do is say, when you come and show us from, can you show us from Scripture why you believe what you believe? See, and that's how we become an interdenominational church. We have ex-Baptists here. I don't know if you call them ex-Baptists. For all you that came out of the Baptist church, what do you call yourself? Baptist. Okay. For all you that come out of the Pentecost church, what do you call yourself? Saved. Okay. There you go. Christians. Yeah. But all I'm saying is we mix here. You know, we just mix. We, you know, you can come from wherever you come from, and we say, well, we know that, you know, there's part of the Baptists say you can't fall from grace, and some Pentecostals say you can, And you know, so we don't argue over those. We just say, you know what? There's two big main camps that teach those two doctrines. Work out that for yourself. Work that out for yourself. You know, and so, but to seek counsel, you know, to seek counsel is good. But when it comes down to the final straw, that's between you and Jesus. You can't pass the buck off on anybody, and you shouldn't want to. And so I was talking about joining this denomination just to kind of be a help to them and a blessing to them. I'm not lonely and I'm not in need, but I just felt like God wanted me to. And so I searched and prayed for a couple of years, and I had some of my personal friends, and they were, their church is a Assembly of God. And, just a friend I met at the gym, and we worked out together and stuff. And I've done some concerts for him and things. And so cause I preach and sing whatever church, it don't matter to me. And, you know, you got Christ over your door. And so when I told them about this denomination I was going to join to, they just, oh, we're just grieved in our spirits. And I thought, wow, these are friends and they're grieved in their spirit. What can I do? And I thought, and so they said, you don't need to be joined to anybody. Your church is doing good and you're just going to bind you up and all this and stuff. So I just pulled out a chair and I said, well, you come here and lay hands on me and pray for me. And they came over and laid hands on me and prayed in tongues and, you know, did the Assembly God thing and it relieved them. You could just tell they were relieved because I was open to prayer. And how many knows, whether it's me or you, we can miss it. This is what I think I need to do, but if one of your friends wants to pray for you and you're just saying, you just need to chill out and you're just, you know, maybe you do have an issue. If one of your good friends can't pray over you, you'd be afraid to ask them to pray because God might show you something. You probably have a pride issue. So I just let, and you could tell it relieved them and all. And then after I'd been in this denomination for a few years, they said, that's a good thing for you, isn't it? You know, I've been on mission trips, Guatemala and Dominican and helping people and building churches. So that's a good ministry for you. And I said, that's a good ministry, isn't it? Thank you for praying. Walking with God. I'm talking about walking with God. If you have something you want to do and everybody's kind of, I don't know, you better pray about that. And, you know, would you be willing to just sit down and say, well, just pray for me. I want the mind of God. I don't want the mind of me. I know what I want to do. Because if you're wired like me and you really want to do it, you have to be really careful because you really think this is God and we're going, go ye is my thrust. You know, go ye. So that's the kind of guy Saul was. So he's got his letters. He's got everything in order. Acts 9 and verse 3, he journeyed as he came near Damascus. Suddenly a light shone around him from heaven and he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? I love that. I don't know about you, but I love that. How many knows Saul can't reach Jesus? He wasn't shooting arrows in heaven, but because he was picking on one of God's children, Jesus said, you're picking on me. I like that. Because sometimes we feel like at work or in the family or some occasion, well, they're just picking on me. No, if you belong to Jesus and you're in right standing with Him, they're not just picking on you, honey. They're picking on Jesus. If you got a right heart about it and you're standing where you need to be standing for Christ and somebody's picking on you, you might look at them and say, you better be careful, you're picking on Jesus. Now, some of you just be way too humble to ever tell anybody that. But if your heart's right and you're doing what you're supposed to be doing and you're not retaliating with this attitude and stuff, that's what they're doing. That's the way Jesus sees it. When they're picking on you, they're picking on Jesus. Kind of like a mama, you know, if a mother, any mother that you know, has what God put in them, those motherly instincts, you just go up and try to pick on one of their little children. In fact, there's been a few kids around here, I'd whip them if I wasn't afraid of their mama. I wasn't afraid of your mama, I'd just whip you right now. I mean, seen some of them around here. Yeah, you just. Yeah. But because of the mama, you know, who they belong to, that's the way it is whenever people pick on you. And you're one of God's children. I like that. He says, you're persecuting me. And he said, who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I'm Jesus. I'm Jesus. Remember that Jesus that they've been talking about? Remember the one Stephen was talking about the day that you stoned him to death or stood there and watched him being stoned to death? That's who I am. What would you think if you were Saul and you just stoned one of his children to death and he just stood there and watched you? You know, that kind of, you have to process that for a while. Well, if that was your child, why didn't you do something? See, because he didn't see what Stephen saw that day, did he? He was walking in darkness. Stephen's walking in light. So Jesus did do something, but Saul never saw it. He never saw what was going on because he's walking in darkness and Stephen's walking in light. And here's the key to that. If you want to know what's going on in the spiritual, walk in light. You cannot walk in darkness and receive what Jesus has in the light. You just can't get there from here. And that's why we miss it sometimes. We miss walking in the will of God because we're walking in darkness in an area because of stubbornness or attitude or whatever it might be. And we miss the blessings of God. He's walking in darkness. And I think this is his salvation. This is what I think Saul's salvation is. He had a right intent, a true intent. He thought that this Christianity thing, this Jesus thing was a hoax. Now he had the Bible. He could have been researching like he did after his conversion. He had all that at his access, but he didn't do that. And so all the church is saying, I don't think this is God. I don't think this is his son. I don't think this is Messiah. And so all the church is saying it must be right. But it wasn't right, was it? And so I think true intent's why he was blinded that day and thrown to the ground. Is because I think he was actually seeking truth. Now that's a powerful principle that we all ought to follow. In turmoil, in the valley of the indecision, and when you're having to make tough decisions, here's what I think you ought to stay with. I know that my motive and my intent is right. I'm not trying to twist it. I'm not trying to persuade it. I'm not trying to get leverage here. I'm seeking truth. I told a Jehovah's Witness one time, I said, we're just both seeking truth, right? Let's just sit down and look at the truth. And if you can show me in my Bible that I need to be a Jehovah's Witness, I'll be a Jehovah's Witness. See, some of you don't, you're not secure enough. If somebody could show you that, you know, because it's not your denomination, that this is the way we believe, let's go this way. Some of you don't feel secure enough in what you know to even do that, have that conversation. But you should if you're seeking truth. You're just seeking truth. And that's a powerful heart to have. It's just when, I'm just seeking truth. I just seek truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come. And so I think this is what he has going for him. He's seeking truth. He's seeking the truth and he found it. He found it when Jesus had to slap him to the ground and blind him. But he found truth. He found truth. And so I want to encourage you. Walk in the light. This is Paul walking in the darkness. We'll get to him when he's walking in the light. In fact, I want to show you from the scripture how you can walk in problems and turmoil and trouble and still be in charge and still have peace and still. In fact, I'm going to take you to a place in Paul's life where he's a prisoner, but he's the boss. So you can be a prisoner and be the boss. In fact, I used to do prison ministry, and I've seen some prisoners. I thought, man, they're leading this place. You know, they were the ones incarcerated, but they were in charge because they had such a mind of God, just leading and doing and organizing things and watching the Holy Spirit work. And so we'll take. But this is where he's at. This in today's lesson, he's come to God, and so here's what I want you to take home today. The majority is not always right. You cannot say, I got mama's blessing, I got daddy's blessing, I got, you know, my spouse's blessing, which you need those things. And again, I have to be careful because some of you are on an agenda and you'll take that the wrong way. I'm telling you, God will bring that around. Whenever I came to this church, whenever God called me to pastor, my greatest was concern is what my wife going to say. She told somebody after I accepted the call to preach, she said, I didn't marry a preacher. I thought, what does that mean? What is the next step here? Do I have to get a new preacher wife now and to preach the gospel? You know, but she said, you know what? If this is what God wants you to do and you're sure, then I'm with you. And she's been with me 38 years. 38 years. She's been with me. But you can't go by the majority. You need to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and you need to know this is what God is calling me to do. This is what I'm. And the second thing I want you to take home today is check the intent of your heart. Is it good? Is it absolutely pure? And that's hard, isn't it? I know it's hard to get it absolutely pure because we're a people that want stuff, been blessed with stuff. And because we've been blessed with stuff, we want a lot more stuff. And so we can, you know, but majority doesn't rule. It's you and God. And then check your heart. Is my intent pure? And if it's not, get it pure. If it's pure, people won't threaten you. Things won't threaten you. You'll just know that I'm seeking this path from God in my walk right now, and this is what I believe God wants me to do. And if anybody, my friends especially, your spouse especially, because they know you better than anybody else, ask them to just bear their heart with you. And you know, when we used to have Sunday night service around here, and I can remember praying about that for a year, and then all of a sudden I introduced it to my elders. They prayed about it for a long time. And then we decided not to do Sunday night anymore. And here's what the conclusion we came to. The Bible says to keep the Sabbath holy and rest. And so we try to accomplish that purpose on the Sabbath. So that's why we don't do Sunday night. We just, family, you go all be your family. We know you've had a busy weekend. You're here today. And so but my wife was the greatest opponent of that of anybody in the church. She asked me, she looked at me and she said, are you even called to preach anymore? That shook me. Because I know she knows me. But she is so, and I had to remember this. My wife is so traditional. She's when my kids, man, we were at school, they had a regiment. You know, breakfast at this time. We watched this cartoon. We go here. Mama drops us off at that door. She picks us up at that door. We're at bed at this time. And I thought, that's what I believe she is arguing with at the time. And so, and nothing wrong with that because I'm not that way. And so it brings balance to us, you know. Yeah, I'd be like, kids, it's 2 a.m. Don't you think you ought to get to bed or something here in a little while, you know? And so it brings balance to us. But it took her a long time. And she said, well, we just need Sunday night. I said, well, why do we need Sunday night? She said, well, we just do. We've always done it. And so I said, well, just pray. And I prayed a long time. And the elders have prayed. And this is mine. And this is what we're going to do. And if we need to, we'll go visit church. She said, I don't visit church. We got our own church. She's very adamant with me about that. And so I had to really check that again all over. And I did. And now she loves the Sunday evenings off, you know, to rest and you know, go swimming or ride her bike. Just do family stuff and rest the mind, you know. But that was something that the walk of God at the time that the traditional church, and I still hear people, you know, John Hagee and some of them that I love to listen to preach against that, you know, some of you guys not even doing something, you know. Well, that's me. You know, we're not doing that anymore. But we're still saved. And we're rested. Yeah. And I give you that as an example to say there will be things that your spouse will even challenge you on, but keep your intent right. You know, keep your intent right and listen to the, because that's the best place to walk is right down the center path with Jesus Christ. Just walking along, and it'll be a fulfilling journey. Let's pray. Father, thank you for showing us that even a person who was going around persecuting and endorsing, jailing and killing Christians, because of his pure intent, his heart was in the right place, his doctrine was just way off, his theology was in darkness. Even though it's about the same God, is about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It was way off course. Thank you for showing us that we can't always rely on those that are going before us, those that are mentors and our leaders. That sometimes, Lord, you're talking to us. And the path may take a turn that may not look right to our leaders either. Should always line up with your word, but we seek to find your perfect divine will for each of us. We want to walk the walk that you've laid out for us. And so we ask that you would help us to develop such a relationship with the Bible and with the study of students of the Bible and a relationship with Jesus Christ that we'll know exactly what it is that you want us to do and where you want us to go. And when we're not sure, we'll have such a relationship with you that we'll kneel before you and sit before you and meditate before you that we'll find that path and get back on it. And walk a fulfilling and a blessed life with you. Lord, if you can take a guy that was persecuting the church and turn him into a great warrior, how much more so can you do that with us? We desire to walk with you. And walk with God in your perfect divine will. We ask and we seek that today, Father. In Jesus' name. Well, Christians praying heads are bowed if you're here today and you need Jesus Christ in your life. Recommit your life to Christ, or you've never asked Christ into your life. If you're here, if you just slip up your hand, I'd like to lead you in a prayer. If you need repentance, or if you need to come back to Christ or come to Jesus today, anyone before we dismiss? Excellent. Everyone's under the blood of Jesus. And Father, as we go from here, we thank you for the walk that you've called us to walk. Help us to, in the good sense, to have pride in what we do for you. Whether it's keeping your grounds, mowing your grass, preaching your messages, singing, teaching, cooking, cleaning, whatever it is that we can do for you, we ask in Jesus' name that you would just help us to do that with excellence and do it in a way that glorifies you and brings edification to those around us. Thank you for such a great walk. It's a great journey, Lord. And we thank you for that. For those that may be off the beaten path or come in today and they were a little confused, we ask you to bring clarity to them. Let them see clearly what it is you want them to do, where you want them to be, what you want them to participate in today, what God is doing in their life, and then get on board with that. Show them, Holy Spirit, just the way you showed Paul. And we give you praise and glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Go out and be salt and light. Yeah, go ahead. We'll pray. You can be dismissed.